You know, a lot of people in the United States, they say, what do you mean defend the Bible, defend the scriptures? There's no defense for it. In fact, they think that you're just sitting there on the edge of the cliff of the Grand Canyon, and there's no evidence to get to the other side at all. They think you're taking this giant leap of faith. Anybody want to jump off the Grand Canyon? No. In fact, as they go, think you're jumping across the canyon, they know you're going to crash because there's no evidence. And they think when you go out and evangelize, you're trying to get all your friends to take a blind leap of faith. That's the way they look at you. Why do they look at you? Because Hollywood has been able to make up these kind of stories. What kind of evidence do they have? Well, the evidence they had, you see in the top left. That's all they got? Those type of things? Oh, but here's what they do. They got beautiful artist renditions. Oh, doesn't this look good? Look at the whites of the eyes. Didn't you know fossils leave whites of the eyes? No, they don't, folks. This is all just made up stories by Hollywood to fit their theories, which don't work very well. Well, tonight I'm going to cover something, just a little tiny, little narrow topic. They claim the dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. And so when they reconstruct and look at some of these fossils that are supposedly that old, they come up arranging the stories in some sort of way to try to make us look foolish. But if you actually look at what they actually found, they're the ones that look foolish. Unfortunately, children don't know this. Children go to these museums, they see these beautiful displays, they see this stuff laid out right in front of them, and they think, this must be real. And then they see these phylogenetic charts. Hey, look at where our ancestors are. And then they go to the next chart in the same museum, and it says, ah, look at this. You're 60% genetically similar to a banana. So somewhere in the past, you and bananas had a common ancestor. That's what they put in front of the kids. Beautiful displays. Boy, don't those faces look real? Did they actually find the fossils like that with the skin on them and the eyes? No, of course not, folks. They told the artist or the person who sculpted these, you want to get paid? Make it look more human. That's all they do. Make up their stories. They arrange these fossils and sometimes they put dates on them. If they don't like a date of a particular fossil, they make up another one. Use some other method. Oh, we'll use pig's tooth to date this one in this layer because we don't like the date we got with the fossil itself. The real battle, every single time, though, is they don't want God to be the coach. You see, if Adam is a true historical person, then God's in control. There are such things as absolutes. He's the coach, the super coach. Instead, they're like a bunch of teenagers. Sorry, and I'm being tough on teenagers. They don't want any coaches. They want to tell the coach what to do. At least it seems to be sometimes teenagers do that, but as adults, you think we really become more mature than that? No, those who reject God are about as mature as these teenagers who don't want any authority over their lives. But what are we going to cover tonight in just 5 or 10 minutes? Fossil variations and something called living fossils. See, what the evolutionist says, dinosaurs died out 65 million years ago. So whenever we find any fossils in the same layers that we find dinosaurs, then they must be different than the ones today. After all, they had 65 million years to change. Well, Dr. Carl Warner, who wrote these two books, and if you want to take a look at a whole lot, 100 or more examples of living fossils that are in here, I'm only going to show you 5 or 10, okay? He was taught to be an evolutionist. He was an evolutionist. He finally started to doubt some of the things he was taught. He says, now how can we test this theory of evolution? He said, well, tell you what, if something is scientific, it's supposed to be falsifiable, which means you can imagine an experiment you could then run to prove it false. So he predicted that he would find modern plants and animal species, in other words, they look exactly like the modern ones, he'd find them back there fossilized with the dinosaurs, if evolution was not valid. Now, how do we talk about this idea of species and genus and all that kind of stuff? Well, first we have to get into this naming game, so bear with me for a minute. What is a species? Technically speaking, a species just means that these creatures can mate and produce fertile offspring. If you can't produce fertile offspring, you're not of the same species. That's it. So when you take a look at all this, which was, by the way, these Latin names was invented by a creationist back in the late 1700s. Unfortunately, evolutionists then grabbed his names and used it for their theories. So you've heard of kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, and then species. That's the orders. And, you know, if you want to go to the dog kind, you've got down here at the bottom, you've got species Canis. I can't even read the last one, lupus, okay? So the dog kinds and the Canis. We've heard that, at least in the genus. So why do evolutionists keep coming up with new species names for something in the fossil record that looks like the modern ones? Well, if you're a paleontologist and you like to have a research grant, things of that nature, and you find something that already exists today, anybody going to fund you? That's no big deal, right? You want your name put on something? Well, you got kind of a bias to go find it. Number two is, after all, these things died 65 million years ago. They got to be different than the ones today, right? Well, before we show you a couple of these, I want to show you how can they say something is a completely different species just by some small variations in the bones. Perhaps some of the variations are just due to size, okay? So let's go to some dog variations. Large, small. We got large dogs, we got small dogs. Okay, right there, you've got a Doberman. Pretty good sized dog, right? And then this little guy, I don't even know how you pronounce that name, but that's a small little dog, okay? And you got to take a fossil right there and blow it up really big so you can compare the bones, right? And you'll notice, yeah, the shoulder blade's a little bit different. It's got a few different ribs, things of that nature. So this must be a different species, right? No, it's all from the dog kind. No big deal, guys. And it's more than just size, large to small. I want you to imagine that you went and visited the largest dog show in the world. They had varieties of dogs there. And unfortunately, a flood came in and buried everything, including you. 500 years later, 500 years later, just 500 years, not 65 million, 500 years later, they dig you out. You're kind of fossilized, okay? Your bones are about the only thing that survived. And the bones of these dogs. Do you think they would assign the following fossils the exact same species and genus? Those look the same to you? They're not just different in size. I had to blow up the one at the bottom a little bit bigger. These are different in shape. The jaw's different. The skull's different. The shape. The teeth are different. Wow, there's a lot of differences here. Where'd they come from? There you go. There's where they came from. This plain old dog kind. Now, if you think that's a difference, just take a look at this one. Where do you think that came from? That looks like, well, I don't know. I don't know what it is, okay? You think that's weird? Take a look at this one. Oh, it must be a horse, right? Big old head. No, no, not at all. It's just a dog, folks. No big deal. Now, do you think they would assign them the same species? They probably wouldn't be the same genus or even class, order. I mean, whoa, there's no way these bones could possibly be related. They couldn't possibly mate and have fertile offspring. So how long do those variations take? Less than 500 years. So remember his thesis. He said, the evolutionists claim it's been 65 million years for these things. They must be different. Therefore, if we can find animals the same as today in the fossil record, evolution is false. But what he found out at the conclusion of a study of 10 years of collecting this data, he found out that he never, ever, ever, ever found a fossil that was dated to the dinosaur layers, never, ever, ever was it given the same species name as anything today. Not once. And usually not even the same genus. So why assign so many different species and genus names to sea creatures, animals, birds, insects, reptiles, plants? Let me give you an example. That's dated back to the time of the dinosaurs. What's its name? Paleocoma tunabrachiata. Now notice those two names down there. The first name is the genus name. The second name is the species name. Now let's take a look at one today. They sure look the same, don't they? Whole lot less difference between those two than there was those dogs we saw, isn't it? And you'll notice that not only is the species not even defined, it's even got a different genus. They're supposed to be drastically different. What about that? I don't know about you. Anybody? Raise your hand if you like lobster. They got this little crawl, right? Well, that looks like a lobster-type creature. Lobster Arama leptodactylina. So what do you think they called this one? That's the one today, folks. Totally different species and different genus. See, he and his wife found examples of every major insect order back in the dinosaur layers that look just like today. All five major classes of shellfish, worms, sponges, corals, fish, sharks, amphibians, snakes, lizards, turtles, birds, 300 genus of groups of animals, and more. It took him 10 years. Why couldn't he just go on Google and Google this? Because these museums don't put out these images, folks. One museum said, hey, we've got 20,000 pounds of this particular type of dirt that has certain types of animals in it. They're so similar to today. Nobody wants them. Nobody wants to go in and classify them, take pictures of them, do anything. And number two, if you're out there digging for dinosaurs and you happen to find a mammal fossils right there, well, they're a lot smaller, aren't they? Well, you're not looking for those, so you don't care. The evolutionists have dominated what we even are allowed to see simply because they don't believe in God in the Bible. They only have one story in their head, and they're going to make sure it fits. Well, what about the plant kingdom? All five of those leaves came from the same tree. Do they look the same to you? You branch off into three, and you branch off into two, and you kind of round it at the top, you kind of point it at the top. Well, wow, let's see what they gave a totally different name to, the one on the top left. The one on the bottom of that same picture over on your left is from a tree today, obviously, anyways. They sure look the same, don't they? They gave it a totally different species name because it's back at the dinosaurs. Here's a magnolia tree. Look at those variations. Curved, a little more shaped. Maybe the fin at the middle is a little bit different. Does that fossil record look like from the dinosaurs look totally different to you? No, folks. Remember those variations of those dogs? That's just 500 years. So why assign such new names? Here's a shark. Well, it's back in the dinosaur era again, so we got to get Sacquatina alifera. Wait a second. There's one today. Well, at least they gave it the same genus. They did change the species name, but they gave it the same genus. What about alligators? Okay, there you go. Alligator skull, Apatochompsa langstoni, back in the dinosaur era. Do you see much difference between the one on the bottom and the top? Totally different species name, totally different genus name. Why? Remember those variations? How long did it take for those variations? Less than 500 years. You see, when you're trying to make stories up like 65 million years ago and you try to arrange the fossils into your story, you got problems if people actually look at what you dug up. If they only look at what you show them in the museums and they only read your books and only watch your videos, well, maybe you can make sense out of it. I don't know. So why are we as Christians supposed to go out and bust the myths of the evolutionists? Well, because 2 Corinthians 10 says the weapons of our warfare, it is a warfare. The weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. And we're supposed to cast down their arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So ask yourself tonight, what are you doing for heaven's sake? You don't have to memorize these Latin names and go out and defend this, okay? But go find something to defend in God's word. Was doctrinal errors the denominationalists have or something else? Do something for heaven's sake. Because if you were to die today, would you be considered as a faithful defense attorney for God's word? That's what he wants. He wants defense attorneys. And we know that God made the world and he owns it. And we got to convince them that he makes the rules. Well, we also have to remind ourselves we're guilty of breaking those rules, and therefore we'll be punished unless we find a substitute to take the sacrifice, the punishment that we deserve. So again, we've heard this over and over, but it never hurts to repeat it. In order to get in that body of Christ, you have to be prepared. Hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized for the right reason, in the right place, the right person, right? But that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of your story, not the end. That's his plan, salvation for man. And yes, that'll put you into the body of Christ and wash away your sins. But then you have to say, are you going to follow what the king says? So that one day he'll say, enter into the kingdom. If we can help you in any way, whether you've gotten into the body of Christ or whether you want to get into the body of Christ, please come forward as we sing this invitation song.